everybody Mark chapter 6 tonight. Mark chapter 6. My family's actually watching right now. Hey. Live stream down in Kentucky. Hey. Hi, Mom! Amen. Mark chapter 6. What a blessing, Brother Reiser. Brother Reiser, there he is back there. Oh, yeah, the bald head. Sorry. Bald head, long beard. That would be his Indian name. Oh, goodness.
Doesn't Turkey have a bald head?
Something, yeah, I don't know. Amen. Oh, my heart's overwhelmed tonight. All the faces, all the friends, family, what a blessing it is to be here. I'm honored. Honored and a little bit perturbed. It's kind of weird when, like, the only reason I'm here is because I married the right girl. I mean, like, I wouldn't be here unless I married a Ross, right? So, anyway. Second best decision ever made, accepting Christ, number one. Mary and Hannah Ross, number two. And love my wife. Love my girls, too. We enjoy serving the Lord together. We're not perfect people, but we love the Lord, and we just want to serve Him. And that's what we're doing in Bloomfield. I'm thankful to have some of our church folks with us tonight. We got Brother Steve and Miss Diana Ridgeway. I love them just like they're my grandparents. Brother Steve has just taken me on and treated me like a grandson, and he's got that common horse sense. I love it. I just love serving the Lord alongside them. He's our bus driver, drives our church bus. Yesterday afternoon on the way home, we had a little girl that this was her second week yesterday. And it's probably going to be like this tonight. Sorry. It's the humidity. But had a little girl, and we have two ways to run the route. You got the short route for the Bloomfield kids, and then the long route as we keep them on for the Eastern Green Swing and then come back to Bloomfield. And so we had Melanie, little girl, second time visitor. She wanted to ride the long way. So she took the long way, and then she took the straight path right to heaven. Julia went back there, sat beside her on the bus, and talked to her, shared about Christ and about salvation, and she accepted Christ on the bus on the way home yesterday from church. Little Melanie did. We're thankful for that. A couple of weeks ago, we had a couple of other young ladies on our bus. Their mama died, 39 years of age. On a Thursday, she passed away. And she wanted to come, or the kids wanted to come on Sunday morning to church. The dad figure that's there in that house didn't want to come, didn't want to send the girls. They wouldn't stop agging them on. They wouldn't stop nagging them. And so he finally got up. They had missed the bus, finally got up, and he drove them in. He sat through church that morning, heard the gospel. He didn't get saved that morning, but I can tell he was convicted. During children's church, was it Keely, Hannah? Kylie. Kylie got saved that morning. And then we had another young lady saved that morning too, I think. And so the Lord just uses us. If we're available and have a desire to serve Him, He'll use us. Anyway, praise the Lord for that. I echo what Brother Reiser said earlier. It's an honor to be able to preach here tonight. First of all, what a tremendous message, I think, from him. I knew a little bit of the direction he was heading, but just fantastic truths tonight, so applicable. Congrats to Blessed Hope on 50 years. Amen. All right. Oh, I was humbled hearing Pastor Grandpa Ross there just a few minutes ago. What a blessing that was. I can echo, too, the mean part. One of the first few interactions I had with him was, of course, I mean, I came up here because of my wife, right? We were dating at the time. And so I come up here, and, you know, of course, we're getting ready, planning the marriage, you know, the wedding and all that stuff. And we actually, Grandpa Ross is the one that married us. He's the one that actually had to do our marriage counseling, too. And I was marrying his granddaughter. So if you want to talk about mean, I can tell you about mean. Because I heard it sitting in his office there across the desk when I was asking to marry his granddaughter. And so anyway, now I'm just teasing about that. I sure love him and love the memories and all that. What a blessing that is. I do want to say this last thing before we get into the message. What Grandpa Ross and the few folks there started in 73, The same thing that continues now, 50 years later, is truly a testament to just a group of people that desired to please the Lord. And a group of people that would echo, "To God be the glory, great things He hath done." And I think that's so important. It's what God's done through you that's made all this difference. And so let's just keep that same mindset going forward, all right? It's Monday night. It's a revival meeting. You had a good night, a good day yesterday. Had good messages, good closeout last night. I heard some of the truths about that. And a good message again tonight. It's Monday night over revival meeting. Got a lot of preaching still left this week. I'm going to try to help set the table a little bit this week for the rest of the messages. Mark chapter 6, when you finally go ahead and stand if you're able to there. Mark chapter 6 tonight. And we're going to look at verse number 45. I'm going to tell you a story here through the passage. And I want you to listen carefully for about the first 20 minutes. All right. I hate to say there's no point to the message, Pastor Ross. But there actually are a few at the end. But it's going to take us a little while to get there. All right? So I'm going to tell you a story with the passage this evening. And then once I get to the key statement, it'll connect. When it connects, I'll give you a couple other practical applications and we'll be done. Everybody good? So don't fall asleep yet, all right? Mark 6:45. Bible says, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people." Jesus has just fed 5,000 men beside women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He tells his disciples then to get into the ship to go to the other side of the sea. He then is going to send the multitudes of people away. Verse 46, "And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. When even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, and for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when he saw them," when they saw him, verse 49, "walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them in the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered." Verse 52, watch this. "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." I want to preach tonight on this subject, softening a hardened heart. Softening a hardened heart. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you tonight. Thank you again for the opportunity, Lord, to be in your house under the tent in this case tonight. But Lord, here gathered together with God's people in this place. Lord, thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, for the celebration that this week is. And Lord, all the memories that will be shared. What a blessing and a sweet thing they are. Lord, thank you for the message already tonight. The testimony from Brother Denny, what a blessing that was. The testimony from Brother Jeff as well, what a tremendous encouragement and blessing that was. Lord, thank you for the singing, Lord, that has so prepared our hearts tonight. Just all of it. Thank you, Lord, for it. But Lord, right now, help us to focus. Lord, I know folks are tired. I know folks have already worked today long hours. But Lord, help us for about the next 25 minutes or so to focus on your word, to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated, please. Often in our Christian life, we'll come to the place where our heart becomes hardened towards the Lord. There are times when we feel spiritually empty, spiritually weak, spiritually where we're just not quite where we need to be. We know it, we can sense it, but it's just, we just feel off spiritually. You guys know what I'm talking about? Maybe I'm the only one, I don't know, but it's not intentional. It's certainly not on purpose. Didn't intend on it happening. Didn't plan on it happening. But for some reason or another, our heart has become hardened towards the Lord. The disciples were facing that exact same situation here in Mark chapter 6. The disciples were. Not the unsaved crowd. Right. Not the lost. Yep. Not the heathens. Not the godless. Not the Christ rejectors. Not the Democrats. Not Joe Biden. Oh, sorry. I'm not at victory tonight. Sorry about that. The 12 disciples, their hearts have become hardened towards the Lord. That's what the Bible says there in verse 52. "For they," the disciples, "considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." The word hardened there is the Greek word poro, P-O-O-R-O, which means petrified or is a stone or calloused. That's where the disciples were at in this moment here in Mark chapter 6. The Bible says their heart was hardened. It was calloused. It was indifferent to the things of God. even though they were in the presence of Jesus Christ himself, even though they have just witnessed the miraculous, their heart has been hardened towards the Lord. They couldn't feel it, what they had just seen spiritually. They had grown indifferent towards it. It had become mundane to them. They had grown callous to it, unfeeling to it. They didn't appreciate the miracles that they had seen for what they truly were. Verse 52 says their heart was hardened. Again, this is not the unsaved crowd. This is the 12 disciples. By the way, some of these same men are going to die a martyr's death. In fact, most of them are. They're going to stay faithful to Christ. They're going to change the world. They're going to be the early church forefathers. This is that crowd. And yet here in this passage, Jesus says that their heart had become hardened, the Bible says. And by the way, the ministry of Jesus Christ, folks, was not very long either.
Right.
It's amazing how when you study through the life of the Gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry with his disciples, it's amazing how often you see the disciples get to a place spiritually where their heart is hardened, essentially. Let me give you some examples quickly, all right? I remember one time, in fact, a couple of times, I actually quit on God, one time at least. But I remember one time when some folks were trying to bring their children to Jesus Christ.
Right.
Yeah. Remember that?
Yes, sir.
And the disciples forbade the children.
Yeah.
Like, what? That's not the heart of Christ. He loves the children. Suffer the little children to come to me and forbid them not, for of such. Come on, right? I would contend that the disciples weren't thinking scripturally and spiritually when they were trying to forbid children from coming to the Lord.
Right.
I remember another time in Mark chapter 10 when James and John asked Jesus if they could sit on his right hand and his left hand in heaven. Jesus is like, dude, you don't have a clue what you're talking about. Y'all just need to be quiet. Another time when the disciples were arguing amongst themselves, who was the greatest? Jesus said, it's the servant. Guys, be quiet. They're not thinking spiritually. We read these stories, and a lot of times it doesn't connect what was going on in the heart and the mind of the disciples in those moments. Many times we see Jesus question their faith or their lack thereof, the lack of their faith. Often they struggle with their faith. In Luke chapter 9, this is one of my favorite ones. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus came to a Samaritan village. The Samaritans did not accept or did not receive Jesus into their community. In response, James and John asked Jesus if they can call fire down from heaven and literally consume the community and all the people. I'm like, man, I can identify with that song. My heart's not been right sometimes because I've felt the same thing a few times, right? Felt it about Bloomfield this weekend. No, I'm kidding, right? But I would argue that their heart maybe was not quite where it should have been in that moment.
Yeah. Come on.
Another time, the disciples, Jesus told them that he was going to die and rise again the third day. Peter rebuked the Lord. Peter rebuked the Lord. That's not a good thing. Like, folks, listen, I don't know a lot about the Christian life, but you don't rebuke Jesus. But he had rebuked Jesus. And Jesus, come on. Y'all know the story. Peter denied the Lord. Peter turned back when Christ needed him, and we went fishing. By the way, it wasn't just him that went. Some other disciples went as well. All the time through the Gospels, folks, we see the disciples with their heart not quite where it should be for the Lord. And by the way, I could give you a lot more examples, but for the sake of time tonight, I want to tell us here in Mark chapter 6 the context that Jesus tells us about the disciples that their heart was hard. I want you to look at it quickly with me this evening. In the beginning of Mark chapter 6, Jesus comes to his hometown, Nazareth. Comes to his hometown here where he was raised up, comes back there as an adult now, and basically he offends his entire town, all right, with his truth. This is just Mary and Joseph's son. We don't want to hear him. They're just offended everybody. And then Jesus then, what does he do? He turns his attention to the rest of the villages. He sends the disciples out to every single village and community and burg round about that area, preaching and teaching repentance and faith in him, calling people to repentance, calling people to trust in Christ. The disciples are busy going. And by the way, he gives them a command in verse 8 and 9. He says, literally, don't take anything on your journey except the staff, the shoes on your feet, the food that you're going to take. Don't take anything extra. Just take what you've got on you and go and do what I've told you to do. Verse number 12, they go to the various villages and towns in the surrounding area, preaching repentance, calling people to turn to Christ. Verse 13, they're casting out demons, anointing sick people with oil and healing them. Village after village after village after village go the disciples, working, toiling, serving, going, person after person, need after need, problem after problem, burden after burden, traveling, by the way, on foot, not in an air-conditioned vehicle, traveling on foot, hot, dry, dusty, weary, busy serving the Lord. I can picture them. Almost like they were preparing for a 50th anniversary week. Think about it. I mean, your pastor comes up with this idea like a year ago. And it feels like the workload leading up to it, maybe we should have given them a year and a half. Right? A lot of work has gone into this week, right? I mean, good night, folks. By the way, you're coming off of Sunday yesterday, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. All the work of the past several weeks with the spring program. I know how it is. Extra soul winning. People say, right? We're thankful for that. Bus visits more than normal because of the big days and the big weeks we're having. Many contacts being made, invites and phone calls and texts, trying to get people lined up for the big days and the big week. Cleaning and prepping the buildings for a revival and big day. Mowing crews and grounds crews, making sure everything is first class. Moving tables and chairs around to make sure everything is cared for. Making sure the stinking PA is going to work outside, Brother Josh and Brother Klein. I mean, good night. Hey, listen, I traveled to the state of Kentucky for 3 years with Pastor Fugit doing tent meetings. And listen, I was the PA guy. I got yelled at every single night. And I was just a 16-year-old. I'm like, dude, what are you yelling at me for? I don't even know what these buttons mean. I'm just turning dials, Brother Josh. Hey, listen, I'm a pastor now for 13 years. I still don't know what the buttons mean, man. I'm back there in the back last week playing with the man. My voice sounded like a woman, right? I mean, it's insane. All the prep work, special music. I mean, good night. How many songs are being sung this week? Practicing and all that stuff. The food prep every night. I mean, good night. Deacon's in charge of it all. But listen, I know they don't do it by themselves. People carrying it out.
Right.
All the work, all the service, all the toiling, all the labor. People organizing rides for people. Checking, double checking, triple checking. Making sure that people that are under you know what they're supposed to be doing. By the way, still while you're working a job Monday through Friday. Still when your kids are in school. Still while you're a husband and a wife and a child and a... Come on. With the same responsibilities we have every single week caring for our families. Still going above and beyond for the service. That's where these disciples were at. They were busy serving God. Something happens then that is mind-boggling when you look at it. Look at verse 25. They're busy serving God. Then the unimaginable happens. This is the disciples. Jesus' core 12. Look at verse 25. The disciples get word that John the Baptist has been beheaded for his preaching and teaching Christ. Verse 25, the Bible says, and she came in straightway with haste to the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charge of the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for the oath's sake, and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. Look at verse 29. The disciples, busy going from village to village to village, person to person, bird to bird, need to need, serving Jesus Christ. Verse 29, and when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. By the way, body without a head. Oh, by the way, the one that many of these same disciples were his follower before they were a follower of Christ. Some of them were John's disciples before Jesus was pointed out, behold the Lamb of God.
Yeah.
Right. So think about it. Listen, having your pastor's literal head cut off, and then you as a disciple serving faith, we now have to take that body and go put it in a tomb. That's what these guys just went through. That's heavy stuff. And can we say it this way? An emotional burden. Psychological, emotional, mental struggle. That's where these guys are at. Verse 30, then the Bible says, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all the things, both what they had done and what they had taught. I love how Jesus knew exactly what the disciples need, because the very next verse says what? The Bible says, Jesus said, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Guys, you need a break. You've been going like crazy. You've been serving me faithfully. You've been doing and speaking exactly what I want you to do. Now John has been taken. And boy, I tell you what, having to bear that burden of taking his body and putting it in a tomb, man, come on. And so Jesus said, guys, let's go up. Hey, let's get up to a desert place. Let's rest for a little bit. By the way, he didn't say, hey, you know, let's go on vacation for 3 weeks. He was just going to take a day or two, get recuperated, re-energized, and go back to serving. But watch what happens here, folks. We're going through Mark chapter 6, 9, looking at the context that Jesus said the disciples' hearts were hardened in. What happens next? Well, Jesus is now going to take these disciples and he's going to go to a desert place and rest a little while. Verse 32, watch it. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them and came together unto him. So these disciples, right, they've just taken John's body, put it in the tomb. They're busy. They're exhausted. They've spent all serving Jesus. They go. Jesus has just given them permission to have a couple of days off. They get into a boat. The crowds see it. The crowds get an idea of where he's heading. The crowds then run ahead of Jesus. And when they pull into the desert place where they're supposed to be resting, guess what's waiting for them? 5,000 men besides women and children. So what does Jesus do? Jesus has compassion on them. Jesus begins to do what Jesus does. He begins to teach them. He begins to instruct them. Begins to preach to them about the gospel and about himself and about those things. The disciples are already weary. They're already heartbroken to a degree. Now, by the way, we've got a good crowd. We're going to have a good crowd on Sunday. But this is 5,000 men beside women and children. Right. Late in the day, one of the disciples gets an idea. Hey, Jesus, we need to let them go on home so that they can get some food. I think it was because they were hungry. I think it was because they were tired. Jesus, let's get rid of these people, all right? But the fact of the matter is, Jesus said, nope, we're going to feed them here. You know what happens then? What happens? Jesus gets the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus blesses it. Jesus breaks it. And you know what he does? He gives it to his disciples to feed the 5,000 people. So now the disciples are taking this food, miraculously handing this food out. I think they're just going through the motion at this point. Because at the end of the chapter, it says they consider not the miracle. They're just going through the motion of the feeding of the 5,000 because they're tired. They've been serving the Lord. Now they've got this emotional heartache, right? What happens then? End of the meal. Everybody's eaten their fill. They've eaten their fill. They're full. Jesus knows the load on the disciples. He says, guys, listen, I'll dismiss the crowd. You guys jump in a boat. You go across the sea. I'll meet you over there later on. What happens? Dismisses them down to the boat. Jesus dismisses the crowds. They get in a boat. They have no more gotten out away from the shore. And what happens? A storm comes. A storm comes.
Right.
Now they're rowing, literally rowing for the... By the way, they don't have GPS. They don't have, you know, extra lifeboats on the side, women and children first. None of this stuff. I mean, listen, they're rowing for their life when they're exhausted. When they're tired, when they have literally spent all for Christ, when they have, by the way, just had this emotional and mental turmoil with the bearing of John's body. I mean, come on. This is a heavy load that these folks are under. Interesting thing happens then. Bible says in Matthew 14, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. They're literally rowing with everything they've got just to gain some ground, essentially. Mark 6, verse 47, when the even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night. By the way, fourth watch, hours, they had been rowing in this storm. Fourth watch of the night. Bible says that he cometh unto them walking upon the sea and would have passed by them. They battle this wind, folks, if you study it out, 25 to 30 furlongs, the Bible says. That's 3 to 4 miles that they have been battling this storm. They're on the way to Capernaum. They're exhausted. Nevertheless, they row through the first, second, third watch of the night. Finally, fourth watch, verse 49, Jesus comes. Let's look what it says. When they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them in the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart hardened. Pastor Ross, I don't see right here a group of guys whose heart has been hardened because of sin.
Right. Right. Yeah, you're right.
Come on.
Come on. Right.
Yes, sir.
I don't see a group of people whose heart had been hardened because of their own foolish choices. You with me?
Yes, sir.
I don't see a group of people here whose heart had been hardened because of a vexation of the world. I see a group of disciples here whose hearts were hardened, calloused, indifferent, unfeeling, because they had completely and totally spent everything they had serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Throw in then a little emotional heartache. Come on.
Come on. Amen.
A group of people who has spent all.
Yeah.
Throw in a little emotional heartache.
Yep. Right.
Amen. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
The Bible says then that their heart was hardened. These are Jesus' disciples. His 12. Serving alongside Christ faithfully. I mean, listen, not missing a beat, man. Every person that needed Jesus, every burden, every disease that needed to be healed, every person that needed help, they had done it. They had been there. They had been at their post. They had done what they were supposed to do. They are so totally spent. They've got the emotional heartache with John. And the Bible says here that their heart was hardened. It's exactly right, folks. It's possible for our heart to be hardened towards the Lord while we are faithfully serving Him.
Wow.
It's possible. Pastor Clay, why preach this tonight? I don't know. I just got a little feeling like there may be somebody like that tonight here. Faithful disciples at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. 50 years of faithfulness. Big push for the 50th anniversary. All the many hours of work and labor and toil. All the plans and the preparation and everything that has had to happen to get to this point, just to get here on Sunday and Monday night. And by the way, listen, folks, here's the thing. You've got a whole rest of the week of singing that's going to happen, of preachers that are going to stand up here behind this pulpit and preach the Word of God. And here's what I know. I know that God wants to do something special in the hearts and lives of every single person in this tent. But I also know this, Brother Josh, that if we're not careful while faithfully serving Christ, if we do this thing with a hardened heart towards Him, we'll miss the miracles that God wants us to see this week.
Right.
Come on. I want to give you a couple of statements here quickly. Number one, it's natural for our hearts to grow cold and somewhat hard towards God. It's natural. You know why? We're human flesh. It's who we are. We're prone to sin. We're prone to let our hearts wander. We're prone to get into situations where our lives and our hearts and our minds are not where they need to be. And by the way, God knows that. Number two, God knows exactly who we are. I want you to take your Bible, Psalm 78, quickly, please. Psalm 78. Yeah. Last place I'm going to have you go. Psalm 78, I want you to see this. It's natural for us to allow our hearts at times to get cold, to get hard, to get indifferent, to get calloused, to become unfeeling towards the things of God. Psalm 78, though, the Bible tells us something very amazing about the God that we serve. Psalm 78 and verse 35, the Bible says, "And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues." Why? Verse 37, "For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant." Watch this. "But he," the God of heaven, "but he being full of compassion," amen, "forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not, yea, many a time turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath." Why? Verse 39, "For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again." Aren't you glad, folks, that God knows our limitations? We serve a God who knows our weaknesses and our frailties, the areas that we struggle in. That's the God that we serve. And he is full of mercy and compassion towards us. I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
Number one, it's natural for our hearts to grow cold, hard, calloused towards God. Number two, God knows exactly who we are. Number three, quickly, understand this, folks, that listen carefully, don't miss this, a hard heart towards God will quickly become a hard heart towards people.
Yeah, that's right. You're right.
A hard heart towards God will quickly become a hard heart towards people, aside from the fact that when we get to this place of a hard, callous, cold, indifferent heart, that hurts our relationship with our Heavenly Father. It also hinders our ministry to people around us. Because when our heart is hard towards God, it's almost always going to become hard towards the people around us.
That's true.
So, folks, this week, listen, you know what? Hey, Blessed Hope Baptist Church got a lot. I mean, we're visiting people, inviting people to get. I mean, come on, listen, we're going all out this week. But if our heart's hard towards God, our relationship with him is suffering, but also our ministry to the people around us is going to suffer as well. So the question tonight, folks, is simply this. Number four, I want to ask you to decide tonight, Monday night, I'm not going to let my heart stay hard towards the Lord. It's natural for our heart to get hard. It's natural for our heart to become callous. It's natural for us to get to that place where we feel unfeeling. But it's not okay to stay there. It's natural to get there, but it's not okay to stay there. And so tonight, folks, I'm asking you this. Hey, guess what? I know there's a wet altar up here, but guess what we all have at home? A washing machine. There's an altar up here. It's Monday night. Pastor Claney, I'm tired. I know you are. Pastor Ross was sharing some of the work with me and Brother Riser on a text here yesterday, some of the work that people have been doing the last, not week, several weeks, months leading up to this. I know you're already tired. It's Monday night, you're tired. But listen, folks, it's possible to let your heart get hard while you're faithfully serving God. And if there's something like that tonight, folks, I can tell you this. You're going to miss what Jesus wants to do. By the way, it's interesting here what happens in the end of that passage. I'm going to close with this. You know what happened when Jesus went walking across that sea? He jumps up in the boat with them. "It is I, be not afraid." Right? The Bible then makes this statement here. Later on down in the passage, it says this. Let me get the verse. It says in verse number 54, "And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him." Earlier in the past, a few verses ahead, they thought he was a spirit. And even when he jumps in the boat, they're like, "What is?" They're wondering in themselves, "What is going on here? I think they're so tired, they're just delirious." The Bible says when they got to the shore, when they got out of the boat, They understood that this was Jesus. And you know what the next couple of verses say that they did? They went literally all around the entire area, getting every single person they could and bringing them to Jesus. You know what we need tonight? If we got a little bit hard heart towards God, even while we're faithfully serving, it's probably because we've not taken the time to be alone with Jesus for a few minutes. They got back in with Jesus, right back to where they need to be serving God. Right? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed tonight. I didn't hit it tonight. Didn't hit it very much tonight. But maybe your heart is hard towards God because you're unsaved. If you're here tonight and you do not know for sure that heaven is your eternal home, God loves you. Jesus Christ died on the cross to save you from your sins, to save you from eternal death in hell. If you understand you're a sinner, you understand your sin has to be paid for, the penalty of that is death and eternal hell, and you understand and believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again a third day to pay for your sins, you can simply call upon him by faith. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and to save you, and he will. If there's someone tonight, maybe your heart is a little bit hard towards God. I didn't hit it tonight. But yeah, we all know that sometimes our heart gets hard because of sin. There's things in your life that are not right, that are against the scripture, that are sin against God, and you know it. And there's a breach between you and the fellowship with God. It's because of that sin. Get it right tonight at an altar. I think the majority of the crowd tonight is this third group. That maybe our heart has become a little bit hardened, a little bit callous towards God, towards his word, towards the preaching of the word of God from the pulpit of the church, towards the things of God and what God is wanting to do in our lives. While we are faithfully serving, our heart has become a little bit hard. If that's you, the altar will be open.